when he can't say shit. My hatred is few, just give me a sign, and I let the world know that the city is mine. What? City is mine. What?
Hey guys, how you doing? This is Sean Woods, your City of Coaches podcast. I gotta tell you guys something, man. I know I haven't been on here in a while. You know, Coach is a fan of it as well. You know, but like, subscribe, go to YouTube, City of Coaches podcast, where you get the real in-depth conversation, one-on-one. Parents like to see it. Other coaches like to see it. People contact me all the time. I'm gonna try to keep the contact going. I mean, I know with COVID-19 going on, so we'll try to do it safely. With that, Coach, I'm not gonna dap you here. But I want to make sure I say welcome to the show. Coach, can you introduce yourself to my audience real quick?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me. My name is Coach Farbod Safavi. I'm the head basketball coach here at Sienega High School.
Appreciate you, man. Yes, we over here over in Zavale, right?
Vail.
So I got a little story about Vail. So I just recently came back out here to go to some cave. Have you heard this cave?
Colossal Cave. Okay.
So I was like, all this open air, and Coach is educating me that, you know, they actually kids here and stuff like that. So Coach, first and foremost, how did you get the position over here at Sienega?
Well, I've been at Sienega, it's going on my 12th year as on the staff. I've been in my third year as the head coach, and I got the position. Our old head coach, who's now our current athletic director, Matt Johnson, sent him an email and started volunteering as a freshman assistant coach 12 years ago, and kind of stayed late, picking his brain and trying to learn as I grew up through the ranks here at Sienega. This is all I've known. This is the only place I've coached high school, and I love being here. I work on campus as well, so that's my seventh year working on campus, 12th year as a coach.
So I have to ask you, piggyback that real quick, because I want to ask you a question, you know, we're all, we call it implants, right? We all coming from somewhere else, and you know, off camera, you told me you're from California, and you did time in the service. Appreciate your service as well.
Yes, sir.
But when your original assignment was up, what made you stay in Tucson?
Family.
Okay.
So I got, you know, my current wife, my wife now, and you know, we have two little kids and her family, and so, you know, we settled down, and I finished school at the U of A as soon as my tour in the Air Force was done after 11 years, and finished my master's at Grand Canyon, and while I was doing that, I was fortunate enough to land a job here at Sienega where I was coaching and working at the same time, and it was just a perfect fit, and so I was able to stay here and really ride my time out until I was able to have the opportunity to be the head coach. And that's kind of what I worked for all those years.
And you had a kind of a smooth transition, right? Because, even though you were on staff, you know, and it seemed like you implemented these things right away. So it's kind of smooth for the kids to just go straight into your direction. And it showed in that fall league where we played against them in the fall league when I was the 1 year I was down here in Tucson, you know. I actually seen Coach. I was like, oh, this person knows how to coach and stuff like that. And you have bodies, you have players, you have well-developed and stuff like that. So can you give a little description of, how your coaching style, how kids are adapting, and how you're attracting some of these good athletes that you have come over here?
Well, I appreciate that. I'd love to have relationships with my kids. I firmly believe, I like to coach my players hard, but I like to first have a relationship with them because they should be able to call me at 10, 11 o'clock at night on the weekends if they need something, family issues come up. Those are the things that to me that come first. If I got that relationship with the guys and we're close and we can coach them however we need to, and those are the kind of guys to me that want to run through a brick wall for coach because they see that coach will do anything for them. Mm-hmm. Coach will run through a brick wall for you first. You know, I feel like I give them, you know, their respect to, at the same time if I expect it back. It's not about my way. You know, I try to keep things mutual. That way they understand that the respect is mutual. And that way, you know, they want to play hard for you. Because if they don't want to play hard for you, really, I don't think anything in between the lines matters. If they know that you don't care about them, then they're not going to play hard.
Speaking of care, so obviously with this, you know, COVID-19 hit us back in March, right? It hit us hard, right? You guys were lucky. Other states wasn't lucky, but Arizona was lucky to be done. Basketball was done, literally. But obviously, Arizona is one of those states I've talked about prior that you guys can go all year long, right? So obviously, I've talked to other coaches about how they've handled the summer, But now we're in school, halfway, but almost, we're about to be hitting winter break. So obviously, how did you guys handle fall? You know, not being able to go.
Yeah, fall was pretty much shut down. You know, we weren't really doing anything up until, I would say, you know, going up to after fall break, which this year was pushed back. So really going up until maybe November, early November, end of October, is when we started doing some non-contact workouts. Mm-hmm. And that was great because really it was small groups in a certain phase where we can have small groups of under 20 masked up, but doing non-contact drills. But the best part of that was, you know, to obviously see our guys back in the gym, getting them out of the house and back where they want to be, even if it was a few hours at a time. You know, that's great because at least we're building those connections and trying to build some team chemistry and getting some guys back in the gym, getting in shape. Because you could definitely tell after the first few weeks that, you know, who had been doing things and who wasn't. They needed it.
That's good, man, that you was able to do something. Mm-hmm. And you kept the relationship. Did you utilize, Zoom and stuff like that? Or did you use any of that stuff?
Yeah, we did. We held some Zoom calls. But to be honest with you, like, those guys, all the guys, to me, at some point, like, they're on Zoom all day long. They're doing classroom, they're doing schoolwork, they're doing stuff. So we would set up some Zooms, more small group. And I think one thing Cienega did that was great was that we had like a cats connected program, mm-hmm. Where every staff member had a certain amount of kids that they were checking in on. So on top of that, I was calling guys, calling families, checking in, and more individually, and trying to keep it a little bit more personal than massive Zooms where a lot of guys aren't as comfortable to talk and kind of really talk about how are you feeling. If somebody's down or not feeling well mentally, they're not going to say it really in a group Zoom chat, but they will tell coach if you're talking to them or if you're talking to mom and dad over the phone. So I tried to do a little bit of both, try to mix it up a little bit.
And what's the pending, I'll say tentative, like what's the tentative date for you guys to be able to get going?
Well, the date we have, January 5th. Okay. You know, right, as of right now, on AZ Preps, we got a game scheduled for that day, and hopefully it happens. You know, hopefully, I know the AIA has set out their January 5th date, and that we're supposed to have practices up to 14 days prior to that. And so we'll see. I know our district has really done a really good job of doing what they can to make kids play, to let kids play and do it safely. So as long as, and the way I tell my guys right now is I know we all want to get started right now, but if we get started right now, it's probably not the safest plan. Mm-hmm. Where if we get pushed back a little bit and let the numbers go down, let the metrics settle down, hopefully, then we're able to actually have a season. And I tell them our school year goes until May. And the way I look at it is I just want a season. I could care less if it's in January, February, or March. Mm-hmm. I know the guys want to play. And to us, once the ball's in the air, the month of the year isn't as important. So I think the safety of them doing it as safe as possible, regardless of when that is, hopefully it's this year.
And that's the biggest thing, man. And people understand. I know it's a new trend going on. We're not going to go into it. But there's a new trend going on. But honestly, truthfully, school ball matters. Because it's not just necessarily just being part of it. It's the staff. It's the coaches. It's the teachers. It's the facility. All of them are hurting during this process. And I understand you're going to try to make the best. Parents will try to make the decision to keep their kids happy. It isn't always necessarily the safest situation. I want coach to go. I love school ball, obviously, and stuff like that. But I want parents, whoever watching this and stuff like that, to pay attention that these school balls matter. And these teachers and the coaches and stuff like that, they matter as well. They're just doing the best thing. They're frustrated just like anyone else. So just stop taking your kid out of school.
Indeed. And to piggyback on that, though, I think the most important thing for kids is they want to play.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, a kid wants to play and have the best opportunities for them. But school matters. Having the accountability of your head coach being on your campus where you can see them and check in with them, check in with teachers. I know the kids don't love that all the time, but parents know that my kid is being taken care of when he's at school by the coach. There's levels of accountability. And then while it's an ideal time for a kid to not play for their school because there's no school ball playing, it's also taking a kid out of school and not playing for your school, not playing for your community, not playing for something across your chest that matters.
Man, it does.
When in 4 years you can come back and say that banner will never go away.
Yes.
Because we hung it in front of all of Vail and all the community and our governing board and our superintendent came and watched us play and my mom and dad was able to come and all my friends from school and in the classes and my teachers. you don't get that anywhere else. And to be an adult and not get to come back and say that I played for my school and I helped my school win championships and wins. And I got guys that come back now from 10 years ago that can look at their banners that they hung in our gym and take pride in it. And you can't replace that. You can't replace that, no matter what you do.
And, you know, piggyback on waiting. So, coach here in 2019, first year at the helm, right?
First year at the helm.
You had a good run.
It was a good run. We had a good run.
What you do? Let the people know what Seneca did out in there.
So I'd like to start being picked last, and I appreciate that because that gives us a little fuel to the fire. But yeah, okay. First year we returned 3.4 points per game from the previous year.
Okay.
My last year as an assistant, we had a really good team, senior loaded. All those guys graduated, and I returned guys that didn't play very much. But you know what? That was fine. I was the happiest coach in all of Arizona, no question about it. Yeah. I was just chomping at the bit to have this job. And we won the region championship. Long story short, had a great season, and built some connections with guys that I would love to come back and coach for me one day.
Right.
Guys that reach out to me now, hey, can I help out in the summer? Hey, can I do this and do that? And we had some wins that we had no business winning, and had some losses where you're just thinking we just got knocked out, and where's our season going? But guys turned back around the next night. And we were underdogs in most of those games, especially going down the stretch, last 10 games or so. But, we handled business. We were able to win the region that year, and hung one of those banners. But we want to hang more banners. We want to hang, higher banners on the wall.
Oh, I want to see you do it too, Coach. So I have to ask you, though, because I know my prior alum here used to coach at Tucson. I know we talked to him recently. He said he had to go always up to Tucson to play 6A schools. So 5A, are there 5A schools down here?
I wouldn't say all 5A, but there's quite a bit of 5A schools in Southern Arizona.
Right.
In our region, we go to Nogales and Buena. We go to Ironwood Ridge, which is in Oro Valley. So those are the ones that are a little bit outside of Tucson that are in our region. But there's others that are in 5A, 4A. I don't believe Catalina Foothills just moved up to 5A.
Oh, okay.
And then there's other schools that are Mountain View is believed now in 5A, Marana, and then there's some 4A.
The popularity out here is just getting crazy, right? Just in Phoenix and Tucson area as well.
It's getting
a lot of people like you from California are moving down here, me from all the way across the country. So there's definitely a situation, with you. You had your run in 2019. What happened last year? How did you guys do last year?
Yeah, so we won more games last year than the year before. So we finished with 19 wins the year before, 21 last year, and we finished the regular season as the seventh seed going into the playoffs. So we got a bye in the first round, which was what you shoot for. Didn't come first in the region. Buena had an incredible team, and so they won the region last year. We beat Nogales, both which is another phenomenal team in our region. Beat them both times in the regular season, and had to play them a third time in the playoffs, and we got knocked out in that third game.
Do you know you're a successful coach so far? Do you know that? You're humble.
I'm humble. I try to stay humble, but at the same time, I try to stay hungry. I know we've done well, but I try to have my sights set on, I don't want to just be Southern Arizona well. I want to put Cienega on a different level. Because we have the type of kids that are talented enough to win outside of just Tucson. I really do believe that. Even when there's been some movement here and there, but to me, Cienega is what it's always been, and it's a powerful school. It's in a powerful district with powerful leadership, and coaches are phenomenal across the board, not just me. Phenomenal coaches across the board and with an administration that knows what it's doing to put its coaches and its programs to support them. And that's why we're here today, because they support us, and what are you going to do for your program? Yes, go ahead and do it. You know what I mean? And they want to do that. And so, I'm fortunate. This is one of the best jobs in the state. I have no question about it. And I've always thought that, even in Southern Arizona, it's a great school. But again, I don't want to be Southern Arizona good. We've been Southern Arizona good for a really long time. We've been state level good for a long time. But I'm trying to take us to that next level. And I appreciate you noticing that.
I hope you notice. a lot of coaches, obviously, this is a City Coaches podcast, and we give back to the coaches, but you guys constantly feeding to your kids that you're not even thinking about the success that comes with it. You're just thinking about your program, thinking about something, you being part of something, right? because it's all one, right? Like you said, it's what's across the chest, right? And stuff like that. And coach, honestly, man, if you look at your numbers so far, it's taken over. And I know the AD was a prior coach to that. Like, he knew. He's like, yo, I'm going to go hand the keys over. And you guys just kept driving. You didn't have to start over, learn new nothing. It was like, yo, we're just going to keep going. And he gracefully moved on. And I see he didn't even make the right decision.
I appreciate that.
You know, with that. So we got to get a little history of you, though. Like, when did you fall in love with basketball?
Well, I wish that I had taken, because so I went to Westchester High School in L.A. There's a coach named Ed Azam who's been there. I think he just reached his 900th win. He's got players in the pros and you know, Division I all over. I wish I fell in love with it as much as I love it now. Then I would probably be in a different place now because I would hopefully have learned from him. But I fell in love with it really growing up, 14, 15 years old, playing in the streets, playing street ball, playing pickup ball at the parks. Unfortunately, that stuff is like gone now. You can't just go to a park and see that anymore. But that's where I fell in love with it the most. Unfortunately, I was like 5'5", 5'6", in high school and just wasn't big enough, tall enough to play, especially where I went. But I always stayed in love with it. And I was able to combine my love for basketball, and I always loved working with kids. You know, that was always like when I got out of the Air Force, what am I going to do? I got to work with kids. That's where I want to be, is around kids. And at a school, you can make an impact on kids for four years in a row. I can see that kid from a freshman to his senior year. And in my job specifically, I'm able to work with that kid and that family for four straight years and see an impact in their life. So I was able to combine that with my passion for basketball and be in a school like this. So that's kind of how I was able to shape my life after the military.
If you could sit there and think real quick, maybe five coaches that you feel, not that you admire, but you feel like you have a coaching style like.
Well, I wouldn't be doing justice if I didn't talk about Matt Johnson before.
Shout out to Matt Johnson. I'm going to say hi to him.
And the reason I say that is because while regardless of style, because I did learn a lot from him, but I came into high school, I think I was always been a defensive-minded guy, and I've always been one of those guys, like I said before, I want my guys to run through a brick wall for me, so we always going to play hard defense. But my X's and O's offensively was weak, and I didn't know a lot about that part of my coaching style. And I learned a lot from Matt Johnson. And more importantly, how to run a program the right way and the honest way. And we always took pride in we're going to play with our Vail guys. Whoever comes through our doors, that's who we're going to coach, and we're going to coach them with success.
Right.
But in my time, though, Jim Reynolds at South Point, what I've done is reach out to, especially during this pandemic, because I would tell my kids in these Zoom calls, come out of this pandemic better than you went in, and because I'm doing it. You know, and I would tell them coaches from Basha, coaches from Gilbert, Sunny Slope, against South Point, Doug D'Amore over at Foothills. Mm-hmm. These are all coaches, even Dave Glasgow, who used to be at Buena, and we were their rivals for years. Mm-hmm. But I always look at these programs, and how are they good every year?
Every year.
Every year. And they haven't changed coaches. Their staff, for the most part, stays the same, and they're pretty consistent in what they do. They do what they do, and they do it hard. You know, every one of those programs that I've mentioned, you can look back and say that what they hang their hat on is always the same. It doesn't change. Mm-hmm. You may change some tweaks based on personnel, which is you know, obviously you got to do that. You got to adjust as a coach. But those are some of the programs that I've looked at ever since I started here. It's like, damn, all those schools are good every year. Every once in a while, you have a school that pops up that has a good year or two. But those guys, man, they stay good. And so I had to reach out to them. You know, I reach out and say, hey, what do you do? What do you do in your off season? You know, at Cienega, we're fortunate enough to have a 6-period basketball class. Starts the first day of school.
Okay.
So, you know, we were able to kind of like figure out who's going to be in that class, and boom, we're doing skill work, we're doing fundamentals, we're doing shooting, we're doing this, we're doing that. But I always thought, okay, what else can I do with that time? Like, I don't have to use that time for my guys in the weight room, because we have state-of-the-art weight room with one of the best weight coaches, Steve Schwing, in the state. So I don't have to worry about that part. And then I'm able to grab Steve Schwing and come to my 6-period basketball class and work with my guys on just specific basketball-related stuff.
Look at that.
And you can't beat that, but again, I'm trying to get better. What else can we do with our time? What are you doing at your school that you're winning titles? You're not winning region championships. You don't even brag about your region championships. You're hanging in state championship.
Man. Right.
You're playing for those Final Fours every year. That's where we need to be, and we got to be doing that consistently.
We see it, Coach. You definitely, you know, you're on the right track. And the way you give back to the people that, you know, molded you as the coach you are today, right? Like, I look at you, you're 30 years a head coach, but you have all that experience on the sidelines with, right. with a coach who actually had a winning program as well. You just kept going, man. That's really good. So I have to ask you a question. You being a defensive coach, and you know the NBA doesn't have much defense anymore. No. You can grab one player that you think play defense, and he'll be look good in your system.
In the NBA?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a Mamba guy, so I got to give a shout-out to Kobe first. If we're going to talk about Kobe, we're going to talk about pros. One player in the NBA, man, does anybody play the defense in the NBA right now? Kawhi.
Kawhi, yeah.
I got to say Kawhi.
Long
yeah, I would have said Giannis until he didn't show up in the playoffs this year. And just, like, now I lost all respect for him. And even though I'm a Lakers guy, and I'm giving a shout-out to Kawhi, but I really firmly believe, outside of probably, like, LeBron, maybe Durant, like, Kawhi probably locked down anybody. I mean, and he could take 1 through 5, and I consistently think that, I mean, I don't know what happened with the Clippers, but that's probably the organizational fault.
You know,
it didn't happen to the Lakers.
You know, it always happened. Like, you know, shout out to the Lakers for winning the championship. You know, I ask you that because, like, a lot of times you still, as a coach, you still hope that when you're having your speeches with your players, you still grab someone.
Right.
Hopefully you still can grab someone. Before, you had so many examples. I remember as a kid, my coach, I had so many examples of all these players. And he, you know,
everybody played.
You know, and now it's like, so I had to ask, see if you found someone. Yeah. You found
exactly.
someone.
Yeah.
Quite, I mean, at the end of the day, he could play basketball in his sleep. That's the beautiful thing about them.
Exactly.
You know, with him and stuff like that. You know, and, you know, at the college level, you know, you have, you know, your coaching style, stuff like that. And if you watch any college basketball, you're top two systems in the college level.
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I think Jay Wright runs a discipline. I mean, you got to kind of throw your hands up at Jay Wright. Especially offensively, they're so disciplined. Like, I watch videos and try to get better, try to pick some things off of different coaches, and, you know, regardless of the level. But I still love watching the defensive guys. You know, Patino's Louisville teams. Mm-hmm. I love watching Huggins in West Virginia. And the reason I love them is because they adjust. You'll see three different defenses in a half.
Just
throwing some different things out at your opponents. You know, I like Sean Miller, and I think U of A is a good program. But I think that adjustment piece kind of grows old on me a little bit. It's like we get to watch you hard hedge ball screens for 40 minutes, and you're just getting beat off. Like, you want to see the trap. You want to see some zone.
They just want to outscore.
Yeah.
They just want to win by outscoring. And if they get down, they lost the game. So they have high tempo. You know, rack up 60 points, and hopefully you can hold off the other team. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's different. But we should, that's another thing about school ball, not to get back to school ball. Like, the coaches are implementing systems and making sure these kids have those fundamentals.
Right.
So they don't, because, you know, me being a former college coach, like, I would get kids that would be so good at these schools, and then they fall.
Yeah.
Why? Because they have no fundamentals. They wasn't taught anything. They wasn't taught how to even be a teammate.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And that's what we're going to lose when we, you know, start catering to these new systems. These prep situation, because there's no family in it, right? It's literally he's on the team, then he's gone.
Playing on different teams.
You're playing on different teams. You're switching up. I mean, you might be on 3 prep teams before you even walk out and get your high school diploma and stuff like that. And then guess what? Now you're gonna go to college. You're not gonna build that system. You're not gonna build a role. I'm just here for my little minutes to see if I get drafted or give me a little contract overseas.
Right.
So it's good for coaches like you to keep going and keep striving and keep building for these kids, man. So do you want to leave with the audience of City Coaches Podcast?
Just on that last note, it's I think the beauty of what we preach is that it's not about me. You know, and I tell the players, nothing we ever do is ever about coach. It's all about you guys, and that's why I want everything that you do to not be about you. Nothing is about you. You know, right now when you step foot on our campus, everything is about everything, the bigger picture.
Right.
When I was in the Air Force, it was always about that name tape across your heart, U.S. Air Force. Your name was on the other side, because it was about what's over your heart. And I try to preach that to these guys, is that it's trying to learn about the bigger picture, that it's about a community, that's about a bigger picture of the people that you're playing in front of and playing for, traveling back and forth. You hear your team, you played at Sierra Vista last night, you hear on the announcements today in front of your teachers that you guys won, and you know, your class cheers for you, and you know, you're walking around on a Friday morning in class on your varsity uniform on, because everybody knows you have a game tonight, you know, and it's that feeling that you just don't get. when you don't play for your school. And then at the end of the day, I tell the guys, do what's best for you, because everybody will always have to do what's best for them.
Yeah.
But look at your end result. What is your end goal? And if your end goal is to play college basketball, I can get you there. No question about it. I've gotten kids there in just 2 years of being a head coach. I've gotten kids multiple offers.
Sure.
Kids that were playing JV as a junior year. We had a kid, Terrius Ratford, who was playing JV as a junior, was 5A breakout player of the year for the whole state of Arizona his senior.
Congrats.
And got three offers to go to college. And so it's doable. Your end result is doable playing in high school. You don't have to play in California and Nevada to get there.
No, they're good enough. Trust me, I've done some drive to go see a player. You're good. Kids,
yes.
If you're good enough, the coaches will find you.
Yes.
I've driven through cornfields and everything. So I know.
And a good high school coach will help them find you.
Oh, yeah. You won't even have to. Absolutely. A good coach, like, hey, you know, he's mannerable, respectable. You know, he's a lady, he's tall.
How is he in class? Situation. What does the teacher say about him? What does the school think about him? All those things matter.
And high school coaches will drive you.
Yes.
They'll take you to these tryouts.
Because this one did. Yeah. No question about it.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, we know all about it. We can go all day about that. Coach, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast. How do people get a hold of the program? And preferably you, too, you know, to look out for the team, hopefully in the season.
I run on all social media stuff, probably Twitter, our Twitter basketball account, Sienega_basketball hoops. Or Sienega High School. I'm here all the time. So reaching out to me or email safavif@valeschooldistrict.org. Any of those ways, I'd love to reach out and any opportunity to promote our program and our school, I'm always up for it.
Well, definitely, you guys definitely got to come check them out.
Yes,
you
sir. Know, please do. Please do.
It's a program, especially in Southern Arizona where it might be overlooked. But honestly, trust me, he knows what he's doing. You know, and I definitely appreciate you coming on the podcast, Coach. That's the biggest thing there. You know, with me. You know, reaching out to you, like, you know, I coached again. Let me see how he's doing.
So absolutely.
That's, I mean, I'm definitely appreciate you. You say, yeah, welcome me into your gym,
sir.
Which is an auxiliary gym. But look, the auxiliary gym looks like a main gym. It's crazy, but it's nice. Yep. But if you want to see the real gym, what's the first game of the season?
January 5th.
January 5th.
Is it scheduled against Nogales?
Is it at Nogales or here?
It's here.
Here. So if you January want to see 5th. The new.
Brand new shiny. Shiny floor in that gym too. Brand new floor.
Look at that. I appreciate you guys logging into the City of Coaches podcast. Coach, definitely without question.
Thank you.
You know, hopefully you can, get going.
Hopefully. Soon.
Right. Because the relationships are there. Right.
Yes.
With the players are there. Right. They're in the school. As long as you keep them happy and motivated, they'll show up for you when it's time to go.
Exactly.
January 5th, whoever you
it's going to come quick.
It's going to come, and you guys going to be ready to go.
We're going to be ready.
And
I promise.
Like you said, you're ready to go.
We have to practice day and night to get there. Once they let us go, we'll be going.
Everybody go ahead and, like I said, find them on social media, Twitter. Come to the first game and see. Well, I don't know. You guys have fans?
We're not sure yet.
Okay.
If not, they'll be live streamed on Bobcat TV.
See, look, that's important.
We got
Bobcat TV. Make sure you look them up and make sure you get to watch. And that might be just the new normal, honestly.
We'll take it.
As long as you guys keep going.
We have a film crew that will follow us around, hopefully.
Well, hopefully like that, not only follow you guys, please like and subscribe on City of Coaches podcast. Find me. I know I'm busy with my other ventures, but please make sure to keep logging in. I'm going to try to get the contact out to you guys. Oh, and I do have a new sponsor, Pickle Juice. Pickle Juice, everyone knows that Pickle Juice helps you out with cramps, something like that. Look them up online, Twitter, I think on Instagram. It's called picklejuice.com, and we'll take it from there. Coach, I really appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir.
We're going high five in the air.
I appreciate you being here with us.
Most definitely, man. You guys look and tune in.